Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Colleen, and thank you, Dan. Yes, Jesus loves you. He loves you and me. Why don't we stand for this Jesus who loves us, for the hearing and the reading of this morning's gospel message that comes to us from the 20th chapter of John's gospel, verses 24 through 31. Hear these words. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded here in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of grace, God of glory, God of promises kept, we thank you always in every way for the gift of life we have in you. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that is in us even now as we pray. We thank you for the words that have been written here. We ask that you would take these words and emblazon them upon every one of our hearts here this morning, that we might be and become the people that you created us to be, people of light, people of laughter, Easter people who raise their voices in praise and glory to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For this in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Where's Ed McLaughlin? Where is he? He's out there somewhere. He came up and he talked to us about the Zimbabwe Water Project, right? Kojokoto, Zimbabwe. And we have done quite well, and I think we're really near the end where we can finish well and provide this water. I woke up, I think it was on Tuesday morning this week. Tuesday morning. And and Dottie, I'm usually way up before Dottie. But she was up early and she said to me, "We have no water." So what do you mean we have no water? She says, "We have no water. There's no water in the house." I'm like, "Oh, where'd the water go?" I wonder if they paid the bill. But there was a water main break on our street, and there was no water. So Dottie hadn't been allowing me to lift anything, but you know, I got a good report from the doctor last week, and they said that they gave me no restrictions as far as lifting things. So I made my way to Shop and Save and was able to, I didn't have to go 14 miles, I didn't have to go 15 miles or 30 miles. I just got in the car, drove over to Shop and Save and bought water for the house. Water so we could wash our hair, get kind of cleaned up, and be able to go about our day. Water for our coffee in the morning. And I thought about this water project. And I thought, wow, the things that we in America take for granted. That I go to the faucet and turn on, and here's this beautiful water that comes out. Then I have filtered water that comes out of the refrigerator, and that is what I use for our coffee, our drinking water, and things like that. But either water is consumable, either water. is desirable, and boy, did I miss it that day. And so did Dottie, and I just thought, boy, the things that we have that we just take for granted, and there are people that don't have these things. So I want to thank you for your giving to this effort. The nice thing about this, when you heard Dave talk about it, the water supply is going to be right near the church that was just completed, the United Methodist Church that was just completed. And part of their desire is to use that water, okay, that living water, so that they might be able to be evangelists there, be able to talk about God's grace and God's gift to God's people. And so we want to be a part of that. And I think Melanie asked me the other day, she says, Pastor Tony, if we get more than $9,000, what will we do with the remainder of the money? I says, we'll send that too, because the water requirement is not just here. You know, and if there's more that comes in, great, maybe they can build a second well. And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? So my sermon isn't on water today, but I heard Ed speak, and I saw the sign that went up in the narthex this week, and we're up, I think, over 7,100, and there's also money that came in through the week. I think we'll make it real soon, and maybe we keep giving. I don't know. We'll have to talk about that. But God truly has blessed us to be a blessing, and wouldn't it be a nice blessing to be able to say to the people of Kojokoro, you have your water. Here's the money. Go do the things that you need to do, and be a faithful witness in the place that you are. Well, you heard Holly speak about Thomas today. She took my thunder. I was going to talk about the doubting Thomas. I was going to ask you, when you hear these names, what conjures up in your mind. And I was going to go through all the disciples, and I was going to say Peter, and you might say something like, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Or I would say, what about Judas? What would you say about Judas? Well, he betrayed Jesus. And what would you say about Thomas? And you would always say, well, he was the doubting Thomas. My wife's last name, her maiden name, is Thomas. She hated that they called Thomas doubting Thomas. And Holly talked about that being kind of a misnomer, a label that maybe he wasn't deserving of. But before we go there, I want to look to the first reading that we heard, also a gospel reading. When Jesus appeared the first night, that's Easter Sunday night, and he appears to the disciples through the locked doors. The scripture says that the doors were locked because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now, they were Jewish. Not all of them were Jewish, but they were Jewish, all those believers in that upper room, and they were afraid. They saw what happened to Jesus, maybe from a distance because they weren't real near the cross, if you know what I mean. They weren't there. They had dispersed. They had run. They were fearful, and wouldn't you be fearful too? This Messiah that came down to heaven from heaven to earth, and he lived amongst them, and they saw all these wonderful things he had done, and all of a sudden now he's hanging on a cross, and he's dying, and now he's dead. And they're locked in this room on Easter Sunday night, the day that he rose from the dead. They had already heard from Mary that Jesus was risen. You would think they'd be going out looking for him. But no, they're locked up in this room. But one thing I want us to see, and this is important, and it's good to see all of us in here, and it's good to have our people that are watching on YouTube and also on Cornerstone TV and all the other different ways, Roku and the different things that you can get this service on, both live and then also recorded. Scripture tells us whenever two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. There's an important thing about being in worship together. And on that Sunday night, on that Easter Sunday night, that first Easter, the disciples were in this upper room, but they were together. And Jesus appears to the gathered community of faith. Jesus himself when he was here and he was doing ministry, you see all kinds of scripture when Jesus would heal people on the Sabbath. And it would start out this way. Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. Now think about that. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, he goes to the synagogue with a gathered community of faith to worship his Father, to worship the Holy Spirit, to worship the Godhead. And he's a part of the Godhead. And so it gives us an example of what it is that we also need to do. Whenever we have the opportunity, even if you're traveling, when Dottie and I travel, we find a church to go to because it's important for us to be in a worship space where the Holy Spirit is evident in the whole crowd. And he is evident in the crowd. I just, you know, when I watch our own services on, as I was repairing my eye, and I had my little black eye patch on, and I was watching our services are Spirit-filled. The music is Spirit-filled. What is presented on the screen is Spirit-filled. Everyone that comes up here and speaks at either pulpit, it's Spirit-filled, and God sends a message through the whole of us, for the whole of us, to make us whole. And so it's very important, if you can't be here, tune in, get online afterwards, and worship with us. All worship is valid, and it's a valid worship. Even online, it's a valid worship. Russ Yeckley, who is one of the pillars of this church, and June, who together they had kind of put this sanctuary together and fashioned the way that we would worship together. I got a call on Tuesday, the same day that I had no water, and it was Russ. And Russ said, Pastor Tony, he said, my family and I went to Lakeside, Big United Methodist Church. And he said, and we worshiped there on Sunday morning. I said, great, Russ. I'm so glad to hear that they picked you up and took you to worship with them. He goes, yeah, it was great. He said, but I got to tell you. He said, I didn't really have Easter Sunday worship till today when I tuned into the website and worshiped with all of you. And by the way, he sends his blessings and he sends his love because he loves this church. And I said, well, thank you, Russ. And I said, but that was valid worship. He goes, but it wasn't our Easter Sunday. And I appreciated Russ for that. He calls me and he gives me critique all the time. So I don't know what he'll say about today. He'll call me up and say, I heard my name mentioned. And I said, yeah, that was you. But he is a great guy, and I miss Russ. He's up in the Erie area with his family. And we miss him. We miss him big. But it's important for us to worship together. It's important for us to find a way to get together in Christ's spirit and worship him in spirit and in truth, whether it's online or whether it's here in this place or other places, wherever it is that you go, find a Christian community of faith and be there and worship together. Now, Thomas wasn't there the first night. And he gets a bad rap for it. But I want you to hear the phrase that says, they were locked up in the upper room for fear of the Jewish leaders. That's an important part. For fear of the Jewish leaders. Thomas isn't there. Does that mean that Thomas doesn't fear the Jewish leaders? Now let me tell you why I say that. There was a time when Jesus was in Bethany and they were there and they got word that Lazarus was ill. And they stayed there intentionally 2 more days, and Jesus tells his disciples that this sickness will not end up in death. But then he goes and tells them that Lazarus has fallen asleep. He died. And one of the disciples said, well, if he fell asleep, he'll wake up and he'll be fine. No, you don't understand. He is dead. It takes them 2 more days to get to where Lazarus' body is. It's 4 days now that Lazarus is dead. But it's Thomas that says, let us go so that we might die with him. Does that sound like a guy that fears the Jewish leaders? Let us go right there into Judea. Let us go right into the heart of the area that we were staying away from so that we might die with him. I don't think he was a fearful guy. When he's told by the disciples, so he comes back and he visits them. Right, and listen what happened on that first Sunday night. This is the first reading. Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them the breath of life. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, they already have the Holy Spirit. This is something new. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven. By the way, the ministry that the church has been given is a ministry of reconciliation. It's a ministry of forgiving people. It's a ministry of telling the good news to people so that their sins might be forgiven. We have life to give. Just as we can give water, we can give life. We can give the Spirit of God by professing, by proclaiming, and to shout it from the mountaintops. Easter people, raise your voices. Make a difference in the world. So here, on that first night, these disciples, they received God's Holy Spirit. They received their commission to go out and minister into the world. But the next night, the next Sunday night, it's a whole week later, where are they? Locked up. What? Wait a minute, these people got the Holy Spirit. What? Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Did not Jesus come into the room on the first night, the Sunday night, the Easter Sunday night? He said, look at my hands. Look at my side. It's me. He's not given Thomas anything that the other disciples already had. And he hasn't given him the Holy Spirit yet. Think about that. He hasn't been given the Holy Spirit yet. And then he says, it says a week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your fingers here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. This reminds me of another time when Jesus had a very high point in his ministry. He's still alive. And this is before he died. And he was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he comes down the Mount of Transfiguration after John and James and Peter, okay, saw Jesus glorified. They saw the kingdom of heaven here on earth. They saw Elijah. They saw Moses. They heard God the Father. And then all of a sudden, it was only Jesus left. And then they went back down the mountainside. And when they got down to the bottom of that hillside, mountainside, there was a man who had come to the other disciples asking them to heal his son. They tried, and they were unable to heal this man's son. And Jesus is like, well, what's going on? He says, Master, he said, your disciples were not able to heal my son, but if you can. And in mid-sentence, Jesus stops him. If I can, don't you believe that I can? Yes, Lord, I believe. Please help me with my unbelief. Do you hear there's a little doubt in that man? He wants healing for his son. He's coming to Jesus, and he's hoping with against all hope that Jesus will heal his son. And he hopes that Jesus is able. Do you believe? Don't you believe that I can? Yes, I believe. Please help me with my unbelief. Jesus wants to help us with our unbelief. Jesus wants to help us with our doubt. Jesus wants us to get there. He wants Thomas to get there. And he comes to Thomas intentionally. Here's my hands, examine them. Put your hands into my side. See, it is I. Stop doubting and believe. And then, right then, Thomas goes down, my Lord and my God. That's the first time in the Bible that someone says that Jesus is God. That's the first time. My Lord and my God. Now, Peter gets the word when Jesus is in the boat with the disciples and he says, who do people say that the Son of Man is? They say, well, some say it's Elijah. Others say it's John the Baptist come from the dead. But who do you say that I am? And it's Peter that says, you are the Son of God. You're the Messiah. And Jesus says to him, blessed are you, Peter, for man has not revealed this to you, but your Father in heaven. You know, we saw, I don't know if you saw on Facebook, the little skit that was done out here the Saturday before Easter Sunday. And it was Tim Peace. Tim is here somewhere. Where's Tim? Where are you, Tim? You're back. There you are. Stand up, Tim. Come on up here, Tim. Now, Tim didn't know I was going to call him up. But you played the angel, right? You can take that microphone over there. You played the angel, and what was your message? You were the messenger. You can take your mask off, too, so they can hear you.
Jesus is risen.
Jesus is risen, right? That's what you had to say. But then also, what do angels always say to people?
Don't be afraid.
Why?
Because I don't worship me, worship God.
Don't worship me, worship God. But when people see angels, they're afraid, aren't they? Because angels are magnificent. And the first thing you probably want to do before being afraid, you probably do want to worship them. So they always say, do not be afraid and do not worship me. Thank you. You're done. You know, that's the way it was with that angel. He had waited almost an eternity to do that one message. Can you imagine if he messed it up? You know, he was supposed to say, you know, Christ, he is not here. He is risen. What if he messed it up, you know? But he said, do not be afraid and do not worship me. Now, I want you to see something. Thomas kneels down. He kneels down before Jesus and he says, my Lord and my God. Jesus doesn't say, don't be afraid. Jesus doesn't say, do not worship me. He receives the worship and he blesses Thomas and he said, blessed are you, Thomas, because you have seen and believed. But then he went on to say, but blessed are you, Paul. Blessed are you, Alan. Blessed are you, Ernie. Blessed are you, Dylan. Blessed are you, Kelly. Blessed are those that have not seen. Has anyone ever seen Jesus here? Raise your hand. Anyone? I know Tom already left. He's with the kids. But I think Tom saw Jesus at some point. We haven't seen Jesus, but Jesus blesses us because we have believed and we haven't seen. Blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. Doubting is not such a bad thing, because doubting oftentimes is the beginning of our faith. You can doubt and doubt and doubt, but if you don't try to discover, or if you don't try to learn, or if you don't try to become new, You might stay in your doubt. But Jesus' message for you, if you're a doubter, is stop doubting and believe. John Wesley got a remark that way sometime in his ministry. When John Wesley questioned his own faith, he had been across the sea and he had seen these Moravian people that were on the ship that he was certain was going to sink and he was going to die. And yet these people sang hymns. They sang songs. They were like the people on the Titanic. And they're singing. And he thought, wow, such great faith. I wish I had faith like them. When he got back to England, he got someone who was a Moravian to teach him how to have faith. And at one point, and his name was Peter Baylor, some say Bowler. At one point, John Wesley said to Peter, I believe I have small faith. I want to increase my faith. And Baylor said, listen, you either have faith or you don't. And so John Wesley was shook to the core. He's a priest. He's an English Anglican priest. And he's thinking, well, then I have no business doing what I'm doing. I need to stop doing what I'm doing because I don't have faith. But Peter said, no, no, no. You keep preaching faith until you have it. And when you have it, you'll preach faith. In other words, keep exercising belief. Keep exercising belief. Stop doubting and believe, even if it's just a little bit, even if it's just a glint. Stop doubting and believe, because we have a God that is worthy of our belief. You are my Lord and my God. Praise to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that reveals everything that Jesus ever taught his disciples to us who have not seen and yet believe. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, that is who you are, almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. And you want us to be with you. You want us to believe. You want us to feel the presence of your own Holy Spirit in each and every one of us. You want us as Easter people to raise our voices so that other people may come to believe in the living God that created them in his own image. Lord, we thank you that we are Easter people. We're thankful that Jesus is raised from the dead and he sits at the right hand of the Father. He said to us, greater things will you do than I have done because I go to the Father. He's our high priest. So Lord, we thank you that we have a high priest who understands us. We have a high priest who walked in our skin. We have a high priest who understands how hard it can be sometimes. And he even knows doubt. Lord, raise us from doubt into belief and help us to be the Easter people that raises our voices all to your glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.